All right. Thanks for singing that beautiful song, Saints. And thank you, Tom, for asking me to be a part of this. It's really a great blessing. So, you know, Kristen just mentioned that everybody's still full from this morning. And I'm guessing you're still full from last night and from yesterday morning and Sunday night when you came in hot off the street. And you're sitting down trying to take all this in. And I'm not going to take it easy on you guys tonight either. It's a lot that we're taking in a short amount of time. So be aware of that. Okay? When we go and we get inundated with this much scripture, this much truth, it's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to shut down, and it's easy to just be like, okay, great, I'll just keep eating. Like you're at the all-you-can-eat, the Brazilian steakhouse, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, I regret everything. We're not going to regret this amount of God's word. We're going to revel in it. But take the time that you need throughout the day. Take the time that you need in the evenings to consider what's being taught and think about this stuff. Let it sink in. Let it get in there so that a week from now you're not looking back thinking, oh, I know I heard this at camp and I wish I remembered what it was. Take time to think about it. So with that, we're going to open the scriptures tonight and I am going to start by praying. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you have given us this much scripture to know, to love, to be moved by, to be brought to a new life. And I thank you, Father, for the love that you have poured out on mankind from the beginning of creation through. Thank you, Father, for your great grace, for the love that did not quit and that brought us all who would believe, to redemption in Christ. And I thank you, God, for that. And I pray that tonight as we open these scriptures that we are willing, that we are able, that we are ready to receive and to be transformed by this amazing word that you've given, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So we got to learn this morning, as you all know, that we are loved. And we've been loved for a very long time. In fact, God has loved his creation from when he created it, which is amazing because we've also learned that mankind was not exactly lovable. Let's go to John chapter 3. And tonight, I have my King James up here, but we are actually going to read predominantly out of the NIV. Just kind of going back and forth because I like both versions. Seems like a light thing to say about a translation of the scriptures, but both versions have different benefits. I think for our purposes tonight, we're going to mostly stay in the NIV. And we're going to go to John, the Gospel of John chapter 3. I didn't tell you guys what we're looking at yet tonight. Tonight, you are a new creation. We've seen a lot about creation. We're going to see some more things about the original creation, but tonight we are a new creation. And that new creation is spiritual. So let's start in John chapter 3. And in verse 1 it says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Verily I tell unto you, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.'" That's an odd answer to an opening statement of just, "We know that you're a teacher that's come from God. Nobody could Nobody could do these things if God weren't with you. And Jesus' answer to him is, truly I tell you, no one can see of the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So Nicodemus responds, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Now, what Jesus Christ said to him is, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. This word again can also be translated as from above. I think that that's a neat aspect of this because Jesus Christ is going to share some more truth about this. But I do not think that this should be translated from above, because what's Nicodemus' answer? It's, well, how could I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb to be born again? What we are talking about here is not some sort of, you know, thing where Nicodemus couldn't follow what Jesus Christ was talking about because it was a weird, you know, from above, not above. No, he's saying again. And Nicodemus gets that. But how could that be? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The first birth that we had in Adam, where we are of Adam, we've had that pretty detailed for us so far this week. There is, Stephanie said in a very succinct way, and I don't want to screw it up, Stephanie, and I'm sorry, but the defining characteristic of mankind after Adam's fall is death by sin. That is the defining characteristic of the first birth, this born of water that's being born into the world as a human. You are born into Adam's nature because you are human. We've already looked at this in detail, but I want to go to Ecclesiastes, please, chapter 9. Can you all get there? I could not find Ruth this morning. I am going to tell you the truth. I have a new Bible I was looking in. I thought, oh, they moved it. I haven't used a physical Bible in a while. It's a little sad. All right. I'm not even using it now. I'm using my phone again. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 2. All share. Okay, I'm sorry. Just for the record, if you're not familiar with Ecclesiastes, I think we've actually already talked about it this week. Ecclesiastes was Solomon, who was the wisest and the richest man that God had ever granted wisdom and riches to. He walks through the earth and he observes. He sees what mankind does. He sees the state of mankind, and it's very sad. In chapter 9, in verse 2, it says, all share a common destiny. Now, this is in Adam, or of Adam. This is mankind without Christ. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there's madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. for the living know that they will die. That's the hope of the living. You know that you will die. But the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. This is the fate, this is the summation of the one event that everybody shares in Adam. Death. If you're good, you die. If you're bad, you die. If you did good things, people forget them. If you did bad things, people forget them. You live and you die, and that's the end of you. Is this what God wanted for his mankind? Is this what, when he created Adam and Eve, good, good, very good, this is who he was going to have a relationship with. This is who he was going to lavish all of creation on. This is the state of man in the first creation now. Your hope is death. If you were of Israel, if you were fortunate enough to be part of God's people that he was able to work with on, you know, on a very limited basis, as we have seen, then you got the law, which was a huge blessing. Remember, unto them were committed the oracles of God. The word of God came to Israel. That is a huge blessing, that they were able at least to get to know God on some level. But if that was your life, you still died. And along the way, you were the guy in Romans 7. So let's go there. We're going to start down in, we're actually going to start in verse 14. And if you're not familiar with the law was the law that God gave to his people to allow them to be holy enough, clean enough to still maintain or have again some type of relationship with God. We read, Brian beautifully shared, you know, that there were the Levites. They were a little bit close to God. And then within that, there was a priesthood. There was a specific people within the priesthood. And then there was the one guy who once a year could come into the holiest of holies to make atonement for the people. That, you know, that was all via the law that God was able to give to be able to do these things. The law was good. It was righteous. It was a true standard that God could put out there and say, this is what righteousness looks like. The problem is that mankind, who had fallen, who is dying, thou shalt die, is now handed a spiritual law, which was not a trick from God. It was a true offer. But the law, in verse 14, it says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. In the King James, it uses the word carnal. I'm carnal. That means of the flesh. This is just all I'm working with, is my Adam nature. Spirit died. It's just the flesh. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold as a slave to sin. I do want to take just 1 second and address something. Occasionally, people read through this section, and we see similarities here that we relate to as people who know that we could be walking as transformed believers, which we'll get to later, and are not. This is not talking to those people. This is talking to the person who was under the law. This will be very clear later, but he says sold as a slave to sin. In Christ, I am not sold as a slave to sin. I don't want to give away the whole teaching here, but just so that you're not sitting here being like, I don't know, I thought this was talking about me. This is not talking about the believer in Christ who's not walking as who they are. This is talking about the person who was under the law, trying to achieve that, trying to do the law that God set forward to show what righteousness looked like. All right, so we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Oh, this is the state of mankind, even presented with the Word of God, even presented with holiness and righteousness and justice and pure godliness. Mankind, in Adam's sinful nature, can only look at that and say, that's good. I can't do that. I really want to do it, but here I am sinning again. This is heartbreaking. This is man's response to godliness. I can't do it. And that makes sense, right? Because dying, thou shalt die. Man doesn't have spirit from God in sin nature. You have nothing but the flesh. That's what's left from the original creation, right? I got some flesh to work with. And all I can do with it is keep on sinning. All right, so verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Even though I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. In my inner being, I look at God's law and I say, that's good. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Because again, at the heart of it is death. Then remember, that's your hope while you're living. You're going to die. We know that this is not what God wanted for mankind. My goodness, we saw this morning how God loved, how he reached out, how he desired man and still desires man. This is not where God wanted to leave man. But in the first creation, born of water, right? All human beings are born into this state. That even if I can see God's goodness, there's just no way for me to do it. Thankfully, God did love. He does love. And we are loved. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's get the heck out of this nature. Although I will say, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the King James really cracks me up here because it adds some words at the beginning of this verse. And I think I can't think it's anything other than that the translators were like, we just got to get out of this nature. And they kind of open with, and you he quickened. Like they start with, but you've been made alive. That's not actually where this verse starts. The verse starts with, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's where man starts. You're dead in transgressions and sins. You have no spirit. Your spirit is dead. Remember? Transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, by first birth, by being born of water. You were by nature deserving of wrath. Well, I don't think that's fair. Fair has nothing to do with it. God set up everything after its own kind. And after its own kind, it has remained. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Your nature is determined by your parents. And your parents lived in the Garden of Eden and sinned. Congratulations. It's by nature. It is by nature. Nature is irrevocable. You cannot change it. If you change everything about you and someone takes a sample of your DNA, they're going to find you again. That's nature. But, where's the big buts? Here's one. But God, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You have been saved. In this moment of Scripture, you are going from dead in trespasses and sins to saved. You have been made alive with Christ, even when you were dead, not by your works. What kind of works does a dead man do? Nothing good. When you were dead, God made you alive in Christ by grace. By grace, you have been saved. This is a new life. This is a new birth. In this moment, you are born again. Spirit gives birth to spirit. When God bears you again, you know, when you are born of God, it's not in Adam's nature. It's not corrupt. It's by the Spirit. So where do we go next? We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Sticking in the NIV. Remember, we've been quickened together with Christ. We've been made alive. You are brought up out of that spiritual depravity and made alive in Christ. Verse 15 says, the spirit you received, because we receive spirit in that moment. We receive spirit from God. The moment you turn from your dead ways, from your evil ways, from your failed ways, from your pride, from your dead works, you turn from that and to God and receive Christ. Who, remember how Joanne explained that? That ledger exchanged. And you are now God's child. That's a birth. That's a spirit that you receive. And in Romans 8:15, it says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves. Oh, That sin nature made you a slave. You were born as a slave. But the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. You have been brought into this life by a birth from God. And you are a spiritual being now. You are, in fact, a new creation. You are no longer bound to that first birth by water in Adam, of Adam. You have been born again to spirit in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 12, we're kind of coming in the middle of a conversation here that the writer of this gospel, or of this epistle, is explaining that we're going to see their flesh is no longer what matters. But people still look at our flesh, don't they? Because when I was born of water, what did I get? Flesh. This is, remember we, and Tom covered this really beautifully last night. In Christ, I don't somehow mystically become, a man from 2,000 years ago. Like, no, I'm still Marta. I look like a woman. I'm, the flesh that I received by that birth, that water birth, the first birth, that's still with me. But now I'm also a spiritual being in Christ. So people are still going to see this, right, when they look at me. I'm not a ghost. And so 2 Corinthians addresses some of that. In verse 12, he says, we're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. So our behavior now is to honor God, whatever that may end up looking like. But it's because Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Now, do I still have flesh in this moment? Sure do. Am I still a slave to sin? Am I still only capable of doing dead, worthless works for my God? No, that creation, the bondage of that creation is gone. The new creation has come. The new is here. It's here now. If people look at me and still judge my works, or they want to judge my flesh, they want to see what I'm doing and make a decision about that, I can't do much about that. People are going to look. But I know that the new creation has come. And when I look at all of you and you look at me, I can expect that that's what we see in one another. The world's going to look at me and come to all sorts of conclusions. But you, my brothers and sisters, when you look at me, you don't look at me and see Marta, who finally cleaned up her act enough to do something right. Please don't look at me that way. And I won't look at you that way. We're a new creation. You're born of spirit. You're a spiritual being. Who has ever heard of this in all of creation before? What spiritual being has God set forth and said, these will be my sons and daughters? It's us, and it's new. It hasn't been done before. It's new. You're new. You're not you like you used to be. You are a new creation. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know what? I apologize. We're not going to go to 1 Peter. You should read 1 Peter. You should read chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 2, verse 3. You'll be really blessed. But for right now, we're actually going to stay, now that you've all turned, we're going to stay in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and go back up to the beginning of the chapter. Because let's address this flesh. Because I am still a human being walking around. And now I'm a spiritual being in a human body. So how does that work? Because what I saw before was that the only thing in my flesh was sin. And the only thing I was capable of with my flesh was sin. But I still have flesh. God's word uses flesh in a couple of different ways. You may be familiar with this. There's flesh. I have fingers and toes and hands. This is my body. God also refers to our original sin nature as in the flesh, as walking by the flesh. And remember, that's all that Adam had to go by at that point. He didn't have spirit. So when we see that was sin nature, that makes sense that we say that was by the flesh. My actual physical body is not sinful. My physical body is kind of a free agent in that it's going to do what I tell it to do. So if I'm walking by that old nature that could not do good things, that could not do the work of God, well, then this physical body is going to do sinful things. If I am acknowledging that I am a new creation in Christ, that I am no longer bound to my sin nature, then I have a physical body where I can do godly things. In the chapter 5, verse 1, it says, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. What's your earthly tent? It's this body. This is the tent that I live in. It's my earthly tent. If it's destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Ooh. This new life that we have received in the new creation, it's an eternal life. And it starts the moment that you believe. We don't have to wait. Christ is coming back. And that hope is glorious. And we're going to hear more about that later on this week. That hope is a wonderful thing. We've been taken from, remember everyone in Adam, their only hope was that one day they were going to die. Our hope now is that one day Christ is going to come back and this body that I live in now is going to be exchanged for a glorious body that's a spiritual body, and I won't even have flesh anymore. That's an amazing thing. But for now, I live in this body, in this earthly tent. And it says that if it's destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we'll not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Oh, again, this is all wrapped up in this Spirit that we've received. This Spirit, which makes me a spiritual being, a new creation, a spiritual creation. That Spirit that I've received, which is the same Spirit that any person who believes on Christ, any person is going to receive the same exact Spirit from God. It's a deposit of this heavenly dwelling that's to come. Because remember, we have a good hope now. I'm not hoping for death any longer. Now I'm hoping for even more life. I have eternal life from the moment of the new creation, from the moment that I said, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I became a new creation in Christ. My eternal life began. I no longer fear death. I no longer hope for death. Because in God's eyes, I'm not dying. Now, this earthly body might be destroyed, but my life is eternal. And God says that if this earthly body, if this tent gets folded up, I have an eternal dwelling place in the heavenlies. That's a hope. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 7. We're going to go all the way down to verses 38 and 39. Ooh, I'm sorry. Let's start on verse 37. You know, while you're turning there, I'll make one more point about this new creation and the world's judgment of it. The world is going to continue to look at me and to judge by the flesh because it does not have spirit. The original creation, not the original, the one that was destroyed, that first birth, that birth of water, those who are in sin nature, they cannot understand this new creation. How could you understand somebody all of a sudden becoming a spiritual being? That would be as incomprehensible as like if my dog started talking with me, or if you came up to me and said, by the way, I learned to fly with my arms. Like it doesn't compute, right? Just keep that in mind as you consider this. This is not something that is like that the world looks at and says, oh, I just get it. You're just in Christ now. That makes sense. You're a spiritual being. No, this is very different. This is mind-blowingly different. John chapter 7 and verse 37 says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. That's quite the invitation. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus Christ was speaking about a future time when Spirit would have been given. We live in that time, and Spirit has been given. And out of your belly, out of this physical body that you live in, flows rivers of living waters. In your physical body that you are walking around in, you are manifesting, you are capable of manifesting this new life, this Holy Spirit. We hear this sometimes in manifestations of Holy Spirit whenever we all come together like this. We hear it sometimes in our own private prayer life when we choose by our own decision to speak in tongues and to bring forth this other language that God has given every single one who has received this new creation, new spirit. We see this when we speak with one another and God reveals wisdom. When we understand exactly the words that you need in the moment that you need them, these are all these manifestations of this Holy Spirit, of this spiritual life, because we've received it and it pours out like rivers of living water. Or at least it can. Because you can also choose to like, or at least you can try. I don't know that anyone's super successful, because once you get that new creation, even if you hide it, if you light that candle and put it under a bushel, which makes no sense, by the way, people do that. Oh, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I'm light in the world. But, ooh, I want everyone to like me. ooh, things are different now. Ooh, I don't quite fit in the way that I used to. So you hide it. That makes no sense. And that's why Jesus used that example. No one lights a candle to put it under a bushel. You've lit the candle. Let your light shine. Let the rivers of living water flow out of you. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you have been made new in the Spirit, and you are a new creation, let those rivers flow, because you are spiritual now. Because it's not by your works. It's not because you figured it out. It's not because you were so great. It's not because you accomplished something and God granted to you to be special enough to get to be spiritual. No, it was because God loved, because he desired mankind, because he wanted that relationship, because God is a spirit. He needs us to be spiritual beings, to have the freedom of relationship, to love, to guide, to give, to lavish on his people. And we have received that in Christ, a new creation, one that is at peace with God, one that has this, that shares in the spirit that God is. We've received that. We are going to close out in Galatians chapter 2. We're not closing in Galatians chapter 2. I'm so sorry. We're going to read a verse in Galatians chapter 2, and then we'll close somewhere else in Galatians. All right, in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This life, as we live it out in this body, in this physical body, in this thing that God created to be glorious and to be good and to be the way that he interacted with us, right? He created man, a physical body. And now we have spirit. Now we get to be in communion with God. The life I'm living out in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is by faith. We receive the Spirit by faith. We walk out in faith. Let's go to chapter 5. And we'll close there, I think. Okay. In verse 1, it says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What is the yoke of slavery? Oh, that old man nature. Somebody saying that I had to somehow accomplish something while I was dead to be acceptable to God. In this particular time in this epistle, the main focal point was people saying you still had to be circumcised, which was an aspect of the law that did not apply to those who were brought in after the law had been fulfilled by Christ. This is, you are not to be allow yourselves to be put again under a yoke of slavery, because it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. For freedom. That old man nature, that first nature, that water birth is in bondage to the fear of death, is in bondage to sin, is in bondage to looking at the ways of God and saying, I see that that's good, but I'm not spiritual. I can't do that. We've been made free from all of that in Christ. We are free to walk in communion with God. We are free to allow rivers of living waters flow from our lives. As I walk around living this life out in my body by faith, by walking with my Heavenly Father, by basking in his love, I'm free. You're free. You're all free in Christ. in verse 14, it says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." You know, why this warning? We've seen so many times throughout this week how dead, 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 dying, dying, dead the old man nature was. Not glorious, fallen, created to be something beautiful and failed. Choosing my own works and fail. Why would we ever choose that now that we've been made free in Christ, now that we've been brought to somewhere spiritual, in communion with God again, in a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, Creator, God, the one who has implored and sought out and reached out to mankind for all of history to get us to the point where we could be in communion with Him. Why a warning not to go back into that slavery? Because we do. Because we look at the glory of God and we go, yeah, but I really am comfortable being me. I'm made this way. I'm always angry. Not in Christ you aren't. You know, I use anger when I talk to you guys a lot because that's what I'm tempted with. But you know what? I fill in your sin of choice. Whatever you are by nature, you aren't anymore. Because you're new. Because you're new. Because you're new. Because you're new. Because you are a new creation. You are not in your sin nature anymore. And when it comes up and it says, yeah, yeah, you are, you take that moment and say, nope, I'm going to be in Christ. You get to say no to the old nature. It's dead. Quite frankly, it was dead to begin with. But now its hold over you is also dead. You get to choose if you're going to walk back into it or not. We did not go to Romans 6. I adore Romans 6. Take time to read Romans 6. You're going to see that whoever you yield up this body to serve, that's whose servant you are. I've never served a dead person, but I would imagine it's not very gratifying. If you choose to go back and serve your old nature, your reward will always be death. In Christ, we are new. In Christ, we have a Lord to serve who is living and who loves you, who understands your every temptation and gives you power over it. This new creation is a good creation. I'm going to pray again because I can. Because in my new creation, my prayers are heard and accepted. Heavenly Father, God, may we just humble ourselves under your mighty hand, your creation hand. God, your hand that has loved and extended and made a way where there was no way, God. You have done all for us in Christ. And let us walk out believing that. And not walk back into the slavery and bondage of the old creation. Not set aside the good work that you've done, God. Not set aside this relationship that you've made available with you, who are all wisdom and all love and anything that we could ever need, God. I pray for every heart in this room that we all bask in all that you have done and are thankful. And I thank you, God, for doing all of this for us in Jesus Christ. And I thank you that I have the supreme pleasure and joy of praying in his name. And it is in his name that I pray. Amen.